and I become King George. And I got all the rights then. And when I stand on the mountain and I say, do it, it gets done. If it don't get done, then I'll move on it. And that's the last thing in the world you want me to do.
You know, most of them don't assume you're actually going to kill them. Most of them assume it's a rape or something like that.
It was like anybody was fair game.
It did not matter. Blood is blood. It didn't matter if man, woman, child.
At first, they thought it was a pack of savage dogs. But when they looked closer, they knew it was humans.
We left the curse. We left the curse.
We lit the gates.
A fire and death.
We lit the gate.
Oh, this is not nice. Judgment! Say it!
We lit the curse!
On her?
On her!
Future generations.
Future generations!
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Evil Examined podcast. We have a full house today, despite orders from the governor. No, but we're in a small enough group. We have five, you know, which is safe, allegedly. So today, joining us, and I don't think we've actually had them in tandem before. it's Steady Eddie making his season three debut, and Mike from Real Judgments.
Yes, sir. And we were here together on the Aaron Hernandez.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. I believe that's the most listened to episode in the history of the podcast.
Well, I mean, me and Eddie were on the podcast. We just said that.
Yeah, I think it was more the topic and the great research from people involved. Not you, Mike, but everyone else. Great job.
It's very in-depth by you guys.
So, and Katie's making her return this week. So proud of you, woo! my little sweetie, for coming out.
I made it, guys.
We made it.
That's wonderful. Yeah. So, of course, JP. The ever present.
He just doesn't go home.
So, before we get into the show, today we're going to be, you know, the name of the episode's Have Mercy on Marty. And you'll find out why when we get into the odd news stories of the week. But before we get that rolling, just want to quickly remind people that we do accept donations because we get no income from this.
We broke out here.
And we kind of use it, you know, if you do decide to donate, we do use it to usually pay for the website costs and podcast shit and then drug habits. So, you know, you could fucking contribute to that.
Support a meth head.
If you'd like, you know. So that would be great if you go to www.evilexamined.com and click that donate button. If not, we would also just appreciate if you subscribe to the podcast or just tell other people. Rate, review the podcast.
You could just straight donate drugs as well.
Yeah. We've got an address up there with a P.O. box. We know a guy. But that's kind of... Just remember to go to www.evilexamined.com, though, because that's where we also put up a lot of cool shit from the prior shows. Like, the last show, we had the time... is the fucking future president of Time Traveler. That was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So there's some... photograph where he allegedly claims he was at the Gettysburg address that's on the fucking website.
That's a little boy.
And then also the Bunyip beast photos where we pitted the Bunyip up against different myth, you know, crypto creatures and shit. So go check it out, evilexamined.com. It's a blast. But if you want some other types of entertainment, a friend of the show. I want to give a shout out to Jasper Bark. He's a horror author, dude. Extreme horror. We kind of, you know, maybe kind of write stuff in a similar vein. And his book, I started reading it. It's called Stuck on You and Other Prime Cuts. And the main story, Stuck on You, it's a collection, but the primary story is about a man having an affair in the woods. And while he's having that affair and inserted in this coke mule, They get struck by lightning, and he's infused to her. She is dead, but he is alive. I don't really want to give away too much more, but if that's your bag of tricks, go check it out. It's on Amazon for a reasonable price, and I have the paperback. That's what I went with. So it's
that's a cool name, too, Jasper Bark.
He's a very nice guy, dude. Super cool. Just very, super respectful. So it's the type of person, if you're interested, too, just reach out to him on social media. He'll say hi and let you know some sick shit you can read. And then also, I'm going to be re-releasing my infamous Halloween slasher, The Bone Crusher, Scary Bastard. I just put the cover art up. You could see it on the social media platforms. It's there's some bonus chapters in there that are some of the most brutal in the book. And the new cover is based off of one of them, the Rough House chapter, in which you could see a terrified toothless girl getting her head ripped off with bare hands. You know, so check that out.
It's a beautiful thing.
Pretty sick.
And then, you know, you can check out any of my other books, Aaron Beauregard, at Amazon.com. So, yeah, I guess that's the housekeeping. Tried to get it all out there quickly. But I think, what do you guys think? Is it time to get into the odd news?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Because today we're going to talk about a girl by the name of Mercy Lena Brown. Just we'll start.
Is it like Mercy, middle name Lena, or Mercy Lena?
It's the middle name is Lena, yeah.
They named the kid Mercy?
Yeah.
That's kind of
fucked up. This is like old school shit, dude.
God have mercy on
us. So I'm taking it you never heard of her. What about you?
No, I never heard of this Mercy.
Like Eddie, did you hear about Mulligan. It before I told you, or
a little bit? Yeah. So there's a local brewery that has a beer named after her.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Why are we not drinking
this? This is how. Revival that's such brewery. A good way to like learn about stuff by drinking beer. I would be, really smart.
Super smart.
They just throw names like fucking Independence on it, and you know you're drunk.
Don't matter.
Reading the Constitution a few hours later.
You're fucking free, free.
Well, anyway, me and Katie actually visited her grave, which is allegedly a haunted grave, a grave of a vampire, you know, and this story is really a girl who either had a horrific injustice committed against her or she was a vampire.
so she deserved everything she got.
You know, so we're going to find out. We'll see. I mean, you probably got your guesses.
I don't believe vampires.
Could it be both?
Have you seen vampire, Tom Cruise?
People can dress up and
yeah,
play pretend, but they don't live by drinking others' bloods.
Well, Mike, you're wrong, and our listeners are going to find something out about that today. But before I get into all the gory details, I think a few questions are in order. Mm. Do you guys know? You're saying you're convinced that there are no real life vampires, but. Do you guys know any stories about real life vampires? Like,
not
can
human
anyone,
ones.
Can anyone counter Mike's argument?
Not human ones.
I've seen. Oh, not human? Are we talking about like turn into a bat kind of vampire or just people that's like.
There are animals that live on blood. Yes, they're vampiric.
I've seen like.
People
My
don't
addiction.
Live on blood.
I've seen the My Dish, that show, My Dish.
My Strange Addiction.
Just yeah,
fucking
that one.
Say it right.
Spit it out!
For that show, yeah, there was a couple of vampire guys over there. They meet up and suck each other's blood.
Yeah.
What else? That's not all that
just the blood.
Yeah, right.
The lifeblood.
Mm. What about
also
you?
Known as semen.
Yeah. I guess, okay, so I've seen those true lifestyle like documentaries where people are kind of like nerdy and suck each other's blood. I don't know. And like, or just very gothic. Maybe I shouldn't be judging this.
Yeah.
You can judge. That's all we do on
this. Like, I bet they don't live past 105 though.
Just doesn't seem sanitary to me. I don't know why. But like,
it depends on the blood, I guess.
Probably.
You know, if it's like child blood, like the elite.
The elite, yeah. They're vampires.
You know, they're fucking living till they're 107, you know?
I just wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I would, you know, like when I get cut, though, I guess my own blood, I've tasted it. Mm-mm. But I don't think I would be a vampire.
How'd it taste?
Like nickels.
Kind of good, though. Like salty, right? Like,
you think it's based on your diet?
Yes.
Like if you eat cake all the time, it'll be all sweet and shit?
Probably.
I think like your iron content would affect the taste. Like my family has high iron
and
content.
What does your blood taste like?
It tastes metallic.
Okay.
Yeah,
moving on.
It does.
So, yeah,
let me taste it real quick.
Take a bite. I'm surprised that no one actually brought up Vlad the Impaler, you know, the real life Dracula, who earned a dark reputation. You know, and on one occasion, he reportedly dined among a forest of defeated warriors writhing on impaled poles. It's not known whether the tales of Vlad Dracula dipping his bread into the blood of his victims are true, but the stories about his unspeakable sadism swirled throughout Europe. In total, Vlad was estimated to have killed about 80,000 people through various means. This includes some 20,000 people who were impaled and put on display outside of his city. And the sight was so repulsive that the invading Ottoman Sultan Mehmed II, they basically, after seeing the scale of all this carnage and the decaying bodies being picked at by crows, they just turned the fuck right around and they were like, no, I think we're... If you see 20,000 bodies staked up, you might be like, yeah, I'll swallow my pride on this one, you know?
But he didn't live, like, a long exponential time. He still died like a normal human, despite pretending to be a vampire, like all the rest of the vampires in this world. He probably died at, like, 60-something or something.
I mean, you sort of have a point, I guess. Speaking of which, I guess I agree with you. Did you know vampires aren't real, Michael?
Yeah.
Unless you count Dracula.
Oh,
you see what I did there?
Bars.
Also, did you know that an estimated 5,000 real-life vampires live amongst us in the U.S., Michael?
They're not real-life vampires. They're just people living Halloween 24/7.
Poses.
The condition, which I can't pronounce, it involves a craving of blood for energy, also known as hetomania? Hetomania? Sure.
Oh, that sounds dope.
Hetomania.
Hetomania. Say it with confidence, you know?
Like hemoglobin.
Apparently, these guys are really hard to track down from what I read. But once you find them, they're supposedly really cool. They only accept blood donations, so they don't harvest blood forcefully. I did see some documentary on many of them, though. They look like nerds sitting around in a stagnant room draining blood from themselves and, you know, swapping it, beating off, whatever. But many of them, they're very private people because they believe that they'll be liable to get tuned the fuck up like back in the day unless they're super careful. Because, you know, all these vampires are targets, right? So even the modern day ones are a little, they keep it to themselves. But although with organizations like Atlanta's Vampire Alliance popping up.
So they're timid vampires.
Well, wouldn't you be if all of your ancestors had been staked in...
yeah, but they were like savage, flying and killing everybody. Bad motherfuckers.
This ain't the Lost Boys, Mike. You know?
Interview with a vampire? They were all evil on it.
Well, speaking of it,
Twilight.
Though, what are you guys... this was actually a question I built into this. What are you guys' favorite vampire movies?
Interview with a Vampire. It's got to be my number one.
Anybody else?
I really like Lost Boys and Bram Stoker's Dracula. Bram Stoker. What did I say?
Sure, that's acceptable.
I like the new one with Luke Evans. That was pretty good.
Luke Evans, he's a tight end for the Saints?
Luke Evans.
That's what it sounds like.
Luke Evans.
Sounds like a football player.
It is, right? The pretty boy with the light eyes, long hair.
Okay.
There was one where this kid was like friends with this girl that was a vampire, and she was fucking psychotic.
And that's your favorite?
Let the right one in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I like
my favorite
from Dusk Till Dawn a lot.
Yeah, I was gonna say that is between that and then the one where they're in the Arctic or some shit and they're like,
oh, 30 Days of Night.
Yeah, that one's dope.
Yeah, that really one's cool. That one. You know what's a real underrated one actually is the old Nosferatu movie, the black and white one. Super fucking creepy looking. Like still, even if you watch it, it just doesn't even look real. You know? Like the film itself and even like the normal people in it that aren't dressed like them. They don't look real. Yeah. So, all right. That's some vampire movies. Now that we've gotten the vampire basics out of the way, though, let's communicate. I mean, let's concentrate a little bit on the New England side of it. That's kind of where we're going to be focusing for this. You know, I want to say, though, I think one of the more interesting things that I learned when I was researching this piece was the sort of aura that was around this era when everything went down. For example, did you guys know that it, like, this took place, what we're about to discuss, about 200 years after the Salem witch trials? These people still were, like, believing in, like, very weird supernatural things even after, like, all that had completed. And these New Englanders in particular, these farmers, were becoming convinced in this area that their relatives were returning back from the grave to feed on the living. You guys find that weird? Do you think that they would have figured it out after the Salem stuff?
It's really weird.
Yeah. But it is exit Rhode Island, so, I mean... They're about 200 years.
I'm curious to know why they think that, though. They see them walking around.
They probably don't even have the internet still.
It's very questionable. It's actually right literally like 15 minutes away from here.
Yeah.
So you're kind of disrespecting us. Just a little bit, you know? It's okay, though. I like it. I like the disrespect.
There are a lot of tractors. It's kind of,
yeah.
Yeah. And Trump signs.
All right, so the guy we're going to talk about, his name is Mike Bell.
FDT.
And he's a consulting folklorist at the Rhode Island Historical Preservation and Heritage Commission for most of his career. And he's been investigating vampires for 30 years now. I heavily leveraged his article about him that he did with the Smithsonian, which it's really cool. He has a lot of really interesting information on it. He's documented about 80 exhumations, which is what happened in the case that we're going to get into about Mercy Brown. Her body was exhumed. And apparently, like, this is, like, you know, something that would happen pretty commonly back then. It says, reaching as far back as the late 1700s and as far west as Minnesota, is where these exhumations could potentially be occurring that they've found. Most of them are concentrated in the backwoods of New England in the early 1800s. Startlingly later than the obvious Salem, Massachusetts witch hunts of these. So that was about 1690s or so when most of that was happening. But Bell firmly believes that it was just the tip of the fang. There are more bloodsuckers who've been plucked from the ground and disturbed, and he plans to keep on finding them. So Bell actually tells of one legend that was circulating. I thought this was pretty interesting. He talked about this old legend about these vampire siblings. And I think based on the lore of this, it's going to give you guys a better perspective of how people actually viewed these creatures in this time. So the lore kind of goes, these three vampire brothers decide to hold a competition to see which one of them is the most powerful. The first brother is the strongest, and he goes, hey, watch this. And he takes off at nearly 100 miles per hour, flying through the air. 2 minutes later, he returns, mouth covered in blood. So his brothers go, hey, what happened? And he says, you see that mansion over there? And he goes, yeah. Well, I went over there, and I sucked each and every very last family member dry. They're all dead. So they're both stoked, you know. But the second brother... He's the oldest. He's like, no, fuck that. Watch this. So he takes off 150 miles, even faster, and then comes back 5 minutes later, and his whole mouth and neck are covered in blood, and they're like, holy shit, what happened? And he's like, you see that village over there? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I went and killed every last person in the entire village. No one's left alive. And, you know, they're both in awe of this. They're like, wow, this is unbelievable. And so the third brother, apparently the fastest, he goes, well, watch this. Don't blink. You might miss it. He flies off faster than the rest of them. He's like 200 miles per hour at least. And in only 10 seconds, he returns. His entire mouth, nose, and neck are covered in so much blood that it stains the front of his shirt. And then he goes, what happened? And he goes, you see that giant tree over there? And they go, yeah. He goes, I fucking didn't. So that was a joke. Actually, Mike Bell didn't write that. That was just for fun. But I wanted to lighten things up before we dive into this grim reality.
Oh, it's going to be sick.
This is some sick shit. This is depraved. So I hope you guys had your laughs. Do you guys have any jokes by any chance? Anyone have any?
I heard one today that I've heard before that's not that funny, but it's in my head.
Sure.
Why do they call a two-door chicken a coop? Like, it doesn't even make sense.
It sounds hilarious, though.
And then it's because if it had four doors, it's a chicken sedan. It doesn't, it's like, it didn't make sense then. It's so stupid. It does. I don't understand it. Okay.
A coop can only have two doors. The sedan has four doors.
But it's not funny.
Well, I'll get one more that's funny for you guys then. And it's vampire related. I had to do it. So two vampires go into a coffee shop every afternoon and they order a warm cup of blood. One day, the first vampire orders a warm cup of blood, but the other one orders a cup of hot water. And the first vampire asks, why'd you order the water instead of the blood? And the second vampire pulls out a used tampon from his pocket and says, today I'm having tea.
Sick.
All right, guys, let's get serious.
Why?
It's going to get stupider later. Don't worry. All right, now that we got that out of the way, though, back to Mercy Brown. So the details on Mercy Brown. Did you have something to say?
Yeah, I'm just curious. You said this guy has been studying vampires for 30 years, right?
What a loser.
Yeah.
So how do you study something that doesn't exist for 30 years and get credit?
Actually, he's a genius if he gets paid for it.
Right. Right? I can't knock the hustle.
Okay, so to clarify, you make a very funny statement, but to clarify, he's studying these exhumations of alleged vampires. He's not saying like, you know, oh, these are like super real. And you'll see... So he actually kind of rains on the parade a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, so he's just taking credit for what somebody else did.
Pretty much, yeah. And he's a grave robber. He's probably a corpse fucker, too.
Yeah.
At this, I mean, who else digs around a graveyard like that, you know? Hmm. Anyway, to get specific about the Mercy Brown thing, she died in 1892. It was a hell of a year.
That's a good year.
At the youthful age of just 19. Imagine that. Not even drinking age yet. But from what the locals claimed, she was drinking blood age.
Oh, shit.
Back then, everybody drank.
You're right, the fucking little drunk toddlers and shit.
Just rub a little whiskey on his gums.
All right, put some fucking coke up his nose. He'd be all right. All right, so the cause of her death was called consumption. And I'm not talking about like Michael Hill from Real Judgments podcast, consumption. I'm talking about tuberculosis, you know? Not Michael Hill at the buffet, you know?
Just trying to eat a little.
Just fucking going off. I'm not talking about that today.
I'm hungry. I know. I was bitching about it on one of the episodes.
Fucking eating pizza on one of the episodes. Annoying. Oh, my God.
You didn't hear it, though, did you?
Yeah, but we didn't hear you neither. So that's like, that's a part blessing, I suppose.
That's a plus.
I was hangry.
So the consumption or tuberculosis, the disease is caused by a bacteria that usually attacks the lungs. At the turn of the 20th century, it was the leading cause of death in the United States. Responsible for nearly a quarter of all deaths, it was a terrible end, often drawn out over years, as skyrocketing fever, a hacking, bloody cough, and visible wasting away of the body. The emaciated figure strikes terror. That's what they said, like seeing these emaciated figures in the 18th century freak people out, of course. The forehead covered with drops of sweat, the cheeks painted with a livid crimson, the eyes sunk in, the breath offensive, quick and laborious, and the cough so incessant as to scarce allow the wretched sufferer time to tell his complaints. As the symptoms progressed in such a way that it seemed like something was draining the life and blood out of the host bodies. So after that description. Can anyone tell us why they think it's called consumption?
The body looks consumed. Nothing left.
Yeah, the virus is consuming your body.
Yep, pretty much. That's why. So it's like based around the weight loss aspects of it.
If you were going to say the symptoms included like the most ridiculous snoring, I was going to say I think Bass has tuberculosis.
Oh my God, dude. He's got more than that.
Have you? Well, that's a different story.
Everybody's hard. Everybody's hard. He'll be hanging out on the couch and fall asleep on you.
Did you guys ever have to sleep in the same room? Well, I was going to say sleep with Bass, but did you ever have to sleep in the same room as him?
Yeah, everybody slept with Bass.
Yeah, we all had a turn.
So I'm pretty sure that if Bass slept next to Mercy Brown's grave, he'd probably wake her up.
Yeah, that's going to be dangerous for him. Well, it's funny. Like his snore is so annoying that back when we were little hellions, you know, laid out at night, wasted, and I would be driving us home, you know, back when we were reckless. We don't do that anymore. Disclaimer. Don't do that, kids, you know? He would be fucking snoring in the car, like, and it would just start pissing me off. So I would speed the car up to about, I don't know, like 60 miles an hour and then just slam the brakes. And I'd start screaming. I'd go, and then he'd wake up and think we're getting in an accident. And he'd be like, you motherfucker. Like, you know, be all heated and shit.
And then he'd be passed out like a minute later.
And he'd do the same shit. And then I do it again. It's a cycle of madness, really. All right. Well, back to consumption. People dreaded the disease without really understanding it. Although Robert Koch had identified the tuberculosis bacterium in 1882, which, as we can see, that's before her death, news of the discovery did not penetrate rural areas for some time. You know, they had the fucking Pony Express back then, so it took a little while.
Well, he didn't call him Bobby Koch.
And so drug treatments wouldn't even become available until like the 1940s for this anyway. And the year Mercy died, one physician blamed tuberculosis on drunkenness and the want among the poor. 19th century cures included drinking brown sugar dissolved in water or frequent horseback riding. It's kind of bizarre. What do you think about that? Horseback riding is a cure? You fucking guys hear that?
It wasn't Christopher.
Horseback riding or brown sugar? What?
Yeah. It must have been so easy to be a doctor back then.
Right?
Just come up with curious shit.
Take a spoonful of molasses, you'll be all right. Right? What?
If you go fishing once a day, it's going to cure your disease.
Well, basically, like what he says is like, the honest thing to say would have been that there's nothing we can do. It's in God's hands. That's what he said.
You going to die.
So back to where all this started, you know, Exeter, Rhode Island, several members of George and Mary Brown's family suffered in a sequence of tuberculosis infections in the final two decades of the 19th century. And just as we discussed, obviously, you know, it was a devastating and much feared disease at the time. But I want to say a little background on Exeter. In the late 19th century, Exeter, you know, it was basically just farmlands. You know what I mean?
They partied like it was 1609.
What's that?
They partied like it was 1699.
Yeah, dude. Even more sparsely populated than usual at this time, because Civil War casualties at that time had taken their toll on the community, and the new railroads and the promise of richer land out west had lured a lot of young men out there. So by 1892, the year that Mercy had died, Exeter's population had dipped to just 961 people, from a high of more than 2,500 in 1820. So, you know, farms were abandoned, and many of them would later be seized and burned by the government. And they described some sections as looking like a ghost town. So this can tell you, okay, there's a small amount of people, rather, in a widespread farm community. So there's going to be, like, a lot of speculation, right? With the less people it is, you know, what's the old saying? Two heads are better than one, right? Mm-hmm. So 2,500 heads is better than 961.
But imagine just over half your population left. Imagine the stories you would be left with anyway.
Yeah.
What scared them all away?
These are strange times.
The vampires got them.
You know, these mysterious diseases too. So, you know, they always look to witchcraft and shit like that. And vampires in this case.
And now us with aliens. Anything unexplained is alien.
Absolutely. Now, the mother, Mary Elza, she was the first to die of the disease. And in 1886, her eldest daughter, Mercy's sister, Mary Olive, also passed away. Now, Mary Olive was a 20-year-old dressmaker, and a tender obituary from the local newspaper hints at what she endured. And says, quote, "The last few hours she lived was of great suffering, yet her faith was firm, and she was ready for the change. The whole town turned out at her funeral and sang one sweetly solemn thought, a hymn that Mary Olive herself had selected." And then in 1891, Mercy and her brother Edwin also contracted the disease. Now, Edwin was a store clerk, and he screwed out of town, hoping that a change in climate would initiate a turnaround in his health. So basically, he just ran away. Mercy stayed, and her tuberculosis was considered what they call galloping, which means that she might have been infected, but she remained asymptomatic for years.
It's weird that galloping is how it was described, if horseback riding is a fake cure for it.
Right.
It's like they just work a horse into anything.
Right.
You know? They're like, oh, this surgery? That's a hoof surgery. You know? Like, they're just fucking...
How is tuberculosis transmitted? Like, how do you catch it? How do you spread it?
I don't know.
You cough on people.
Is it just by the cough?
Is it airborne?
Well, it couldn't be airborne. It would have took our population out if it was airborne. Like, it would have took a lot out.
Well, maybe it's like a low airborne.
If you play Red Dead Redemption, you see that it spread through cough.
You were fine as
a... No, all of this fucking knowledge attained through video games.
Worse is most of it is true.
What'd you say, Eddie?
Well, I'm trying to think back to Oregon Trail. What happened?
They all died. Of dysentery.
You had to take the wheels off to go across the river.
Tuberculosis was one of them. A lot of malaria.
Nobody remembers
so
that the game?
So you're Googling it, but you already know. Cholera. Like, you're just doing this to humor us, it sounds like.
Pretty much.
Like, you having trouble spelling tuberculosis?
No. So the bacteria spreads through the air from one person to another. So... most likely through coughing, speaking. I don't know why it says singing.
Well, when you sing, you spit a lot.
Yeah, but...
I remember all the karaoke nights when I got my phone back.
So is it like COVID, basically?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
It's spread That's through sick. Song.
Yeah.
You'd be singing. I'll never sing again.
Yes!
or sneezing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's through droplets.
Droplets.
Yeah. Michael's like, yo, the world would have been done ended if it was like that. Yo, would have been
all the motherfuckers have
been
dead.
Game over.
We wouldn't even be here right now.
All right, so
your hat, motherfucker.
You like it?
Game over.
That's right. I do have my Super Mario hat for the listeners right now. It does say game over. So. She was asymptomatic for years, but then eventually she faded fast and showed the first sign, like right when she showed the first signs of the disease. A doctor attended her in the illness, and in a newspaper was quoted as saying, informed her father that further medical aid was useless. Her January 1982 obituary was much terser than her sister's, and it said, quote, "Miss Lena Brown, who has been suffering from consumption, died Sunday morning." And her family referred to her as Lena, even though most of, like, historians that know what they're talking about refer to her by that name, because that's what she preferred to be called. Assholes like me call her Mercy Brown. Edwin, though, her brother, Basically, as Mercy was on her deathbed, he returned to Exeter from Colorado and had been He returned to Exeter from Colorado in what they described as a dying condition, according to one account. Some of the neighbors, likely fearful for their own health, weren't content with just prayers. Several approached George Brown, who at this point, it's like his wife and his two daughters are dead and his son's sick. And they offered an alternative on the take on the recent tragedies. And they said, hey, perhaps an unseen diabolical force was preying on his family. It could be that one of the three Brown women wasn't dead after all. Instead, they were secretly feasting on the living tissue and blood of Edwin, as the Providence Journal later summarized. If the offending corpse... The journal uses the term vampire in some of the stories, but the locals never seemed to actually use that term back then. If the offending corpse was discovered and destroyed, then Edwin would recover. The neighbors asked to exhume the body in order to check for fresh blood in their hearts. George Brown gave him permission. So, I mean, let's talk about that real quick.
How would there be fresh blood in the heart?
Talking to the microphone, asshole.
This shit again.
Fucking whispering.
How would there be fresh blood in the heart? If they've been sitting there decaying in the grief.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the whole point of the test. How would there be fresh blood? And you know what, asshole? You're going to see something in a minute. All right?
Those neighbors are dicks.
They are dicks.
So they go to this grieving guy. They're like, yeah, one of your fucking family members is a walking corpse, basically.
Feeding on your son. Even though your son was sick and went to Colorado, came back sick. I mean, it makes no sense.
But like, I think there was the mixed stories. I think there was some stories that said he was desperate, seeking answers. He didn't want to lose the last one in his family, and that's when they gave this kind of recommendation.
I don't know. This guy seemed to be like the definitive go-to guy on this, and if he is giving these accounts, I've read a few different things. I tend to lean more towards his version because he sounds like he actually, like Mike said, he dedicated himself to something that's not real.
For 30 years, he's been frauding people. I mean, of course I got to trust this guy. He's the
top fraud, and you're not going to trust him? So anyway, on the morning of March 17th, 1892, a party of men, one article cited it as being like villagers, a local doctor, and a newspaper reporter. They dug up the bodies. And
question.
Yeah.
How long after they died were they digging them up?
Well, I think this was like, it says March 1892, and I think she died in like 91, was it?
Yeah, in 91.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it says her obituary ran in 92, so, and the other.
So like the end of 1891?
Yeah, I think, hold on, let me go back to when the other ones died real quick.
Yeah, I think it was.
Because it's a good question.
Because, I mean, if you're only a few months in, they're not going to be decayed, and obviously there would be fresh blood because they haven't fucking decayed yet.
Well, I don't want to spoil it, but there's a story as to why she had fresh blood in her.
Well, you just spoiled it.
So I don't want to spoil it.
You did spoil it, though.
But you don't want to, though.
But I don't want
to. No, but I'm saying, like, if you bury somebody and then 2 months later go fucking dig them up, then... Yeah, there's going to be fucking fresh tissue, too. It's still going to be there.
But doesn't blood coagulate, though?
Not always. If the heart fucking hardened first, it would be like a little capsule.
Fucking Dr. Really? Meathead Michael. Yo, this is ill. I want to see you perform surgery on someone so bad.
Has anybody seen blood coagulate before? Like a significant amount of blood?
Yeah. Well, not a lot of blood, but...
So my son, he was making a smoothie in a blender. And I guess he went to go pour the drink and the blade fell out and it fell on the ground and he stepped backwards because he like slipped on like the smoothie that hit the ground. And so there was blood everywhere, so on. So I went and cleaned him up. There was like a significant loss of blood that was in the kitchen. And, you know, we were taking care of him and then we came back to him and it was like literally, there was like pudding or like jello of blood on the kitchen. It was disgusting.
Like blood clots. Like
blood clots everywhere. Yeah, it was absolutely, it was disgusting.
Sick. And that didn't even take that long to coagulate.
No, I was thinking about selling it.
We'll take it here at Evil Examine.
Jar it and
put it in a jar.
Put it on the site.
But it was, yeah. It was,
we'll give it to those nerds that drink each other in the room over there.
A little chews.
All right, not to hate on vampires. Sorry, but so.
Yeah.
I mean, I know times are different, guys, but you're given the okay for the town to dig up your family, you know, or. You could just kind of get the evil eye from him every time. But I guess, you know, like, I get what you're saying, like, in the sense that he's looking outside of the limited science that, like, science was even more limited then. He's reaching for ideas. But let's get into this exhumation. So they exhume the bodies of both Mary and Mary Olive. And they exhibited the expected level of decomposition. So they were thought not to be the cause. So they were just normal, decomposed stiffs. I've seen plenty of those in my day. Now, I picture it sounding something like this. Yeah, this one done rotted real good. A big old titty rot right there. That's how I picture it. How do you guys picture it?
You need, like, a more of a Rhode Island accent, I feel.
Oh, yeah,
like. It's Rhode, or, like, Island. Maybe it's more British sounding at that point. I don't even know.
Oh, right.
That body's wicked rotted.
fucking bitch is rotted, kid.
We brought the tractor over, and all of a sudden there's a wicked rotted body everywhere.
All right.
That sounds about right.
I'm glad we're treating this with so much respect. I really am, guys. I thought you guys were going to be fucking assholes about it, but clearly we've matured in the third season here. But, however, the corpse of Mercy exhibited almost no decomposition, and it still had blood in her heart.
Yo.
This was taken as a sign that the young woman was undead and the agent of Edwin's condition. My condition. Her lack of decomposition was more likely due to her body being stored in freezer-like conditions in the above-ground crypt during the 2 months following her death. Sadly, today, and far more boringly than the days of horse shit and horror stories, some of these details of the vampire myths can be explained with science. It's a sad thing, I know.
It kills all the magic.
It's going to kill the magic. I'm sorry. I know, Gene, especially, you know, you don't like this part. But here we go. The fear from long ago that the dead could still harm the living was only intensified when dead bodies were exhumed and appeared to have blood coming out of their mouths. Without an understanding of how the body decomposes in what's known as purge fluid, it's easy to see how people could assume that their loved ones had come back from the dead and were drinking people's blood. I love how he says it's easy. Is it easy, though? Is that easy, though?
That's not my first thought.
It's not, dude. It's not. It's really not, you know? I don't know. So many early skeletons from the medieval times have been found with bricks or rocks filling their mouths or sickles around their necks, all to prevent these dead folks from rising up and attacking. As superstition dictated, Mercy's. Now here's where it gets real fucking weird.
Who buries their loved one with sickles around the neck?
Don't you ever wake up.
Get the sickle, Calvin. This is where it gets real weird, though. You ready for this? As superstition dictated, Mercy's heart and liver were burned, and the ashes were mixed with water to create a tonic that was given to the sick Edwin to drink as an effort to resolve his illness and stop the influence of the undead. Now, I'd love to know who fucking came up with this one.
The horseback riding doctor.
Right, or maybe it was the proctologist, because it sounds like it was pulled out of someone's ass. You know?
Yeah.
This is.
Did he die instantly from that?
I was just going to ask you guys, like, so when what happened to Edwin when the boy was forced to drink his sissy's organs, do you ask, you know?
Well, we eat Slim Jims all the time and we don't die, so I'm pretty sure he's all right.
Wrong again, Mike. What happened to Edwin, though? He fucking died 2 months later. And, What remained of Mercy's body was burned in the cemetery of the Baptist Church in Exeter after being desecrated.
He died from consumption, not the damn drink. He was already sick.
Well, he still died, though.
He didn't die from drinking the heart, though.
Probably didn't help.
Yeah.
I didn't say it helped.
Oh, just we're going to make you drink your diseased sister now that you're already diseased.
Anybody that eats jerky or any of the other meat.
Oh, and by the way, it's only been sitting there for a few months.
The other meat.
Dude, a decomposing like 18th century, or is it 19th century? I don't know.
It was frozen. Fucking meatsicle.
You guys are sick.
All right. We're having a little too much fun
here.
So
their cure for being a vampire was to make someone be a vampire?
That way they're not wrong. I told you there was a vampire present.
A smoothie.
I'm going to watch this boy turn. He done died. Well. All right, well. So after he died, you know, what? After they burned her and desecrated her, they put her in a grave that's about 15 minutes away from where we're recording this podcast right now. Eddie, did you bring the shovel I asked you to?
No.
Mike, what about you?
No.
Well, good thing I got one myself, because Evil Examine vows to dig up the grave of Mercy Brown live tonight on the fucking internet.
Evil Exhumed.
And we're going to live stream it for a cost of 99 cents.
Send us your nickels. So, so these so-called vampires do escape the grave, in one real sense at least, through stories. Mercy Brown's surviving relatives save local newspaper clippings in the family scrapbooks alongside carefully copied recipes. One 1896 New York World clipping even found its way into the papers of a London stage manager and aspiring novelist named Bram Stoker.
Oh.
And basically, like, people say that his gothic masterpiece Dracula, published in 1897, some claim that these accounts couldn't have reached him, but it is interesting that you see Lena, which was the name she went by her family, and there's a character in Dracula called Lucy, which the very name is a algorithm, almost like Lena and Mercy together is like Lucy, you know what I mean? Might be stretching a little, but it's basically about a teenage girl, like her character is a teenage girl turned vampire who's exhumed in one of the novel's most memorable scenes. So that there's a tie in there. Also, the character of Lucy in H.P. Lovecraft's story, The Shunned House, is suspected to be based off the New England vampire. One last note that I found pretty interesting for Mike Bell's research involves going along on these legend trips that he does. And he goes to these graveside pilgrimage made by usually by different people who believe or want to believe that the undead stalk Rhode Island. And on these legend trips, Bell is largely an academic presence. He can even be a bit of a killjoy, declaring the main reason for no grass grows on a vampire's grave is that vampire graves have so many visitors who crush all the vegetation. And we can vouch for that here at EE because we did do a gravestone etching, right?
A grave rubbing.
Oh, a grave rubbing.
Yeah.
Why don't you explain to the audience what that is?
It's like you take paper and you tape it on a tombstone and then you take charcoal and rub it over. And so like you have a rubbing of the, they have it at like aquariums and zoos and stuff too, where you like.
Yeah, I did it before in high school. We did it at the
what, grapes?
Swamp Point Cemetery.
That's a strange high school
activity. How did you pick which grave you were going to do it of?
Usually we just found the oldest grave that we could find and then do it on that. But it's a historic cemetery, so.
Who was your teacher, John Wayne Gacy?
Marty Brown.
Ed Gwynn.
What?
Is it for real?
No.
Marty Brown. Well, speaking of Marty, the name of the episode, what a segue. And by the way, before we get into Marty, We're going to be fucking putting up the grave etching, the pictures we took of the fucking grave. It's unbelievable. There's a little video, too, I think. You know, we might put that up. But
did anything cool happen that day?
It was pretty cool, yeah. You can definitely see people go to that grave a lot.
Yeah, people leave things at the grave as well, right?
People take them, too. Some people take them. Yeah.
What'd you get?
It's the second penny I've stolen off a witch's grave.
Trying to bring all that bad vampire in.
She claims the first one started COVID. That's what she claims.
It's his fault.
So is the second penny going to cause the second wave of COVID?
I don't know. We'll find out. Did you really take one this time?
There is a penny shortage. So absolutely. You got to do what you got to do.
That's right. Super typical.
I don't want to talk about it, guys. But that's Mercy Brown's story. But as you know, this episode is titled Have Mercy on Marty.
What are you, John Stamos?
Have mercy. So now this is going to get interesting, huh? We're going to go in a little different direction here. Do you guys know who Marty Jannetty is?
Oh, yeah.
I said, do you guys know who Marty Jannetty is?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us, Mike.
He's a rocker. Shawn Michaels.
He was a rocker. He was kind of just sort of a guy that casually confessed to killing people the other day.
But also a WWE superstar.
Absolutely.
Well, WWF.
I think he actually had a late run in the E as well.
Really?
When he was super old. But let's talk a little bit about the history of Marty Jannetty, the American professional wrestler out of the great state of Georgia. Frederick Martin Jannetty worked for promotions including the World Wrestling Federation / Entertainment, so it is both, and the American Wrestling Alliance and World Championship Wrestling and Extreme Championship Wrestling, and he's won a total of 20 championships.
This guy's decorated.
Absolutely. He's probably best known for being in a tag team called the Rockers with future wrestling legend Shawn Michaels. They would hold the tag belts, but eventually, in one of the most infamous angles that any wrestling fan would know, Michaels turns on Jannetty and puts his head through a plate glass window on Brutus the Barber Beefcake's interview segment, The Barber Shop. Mm. What do you guys remember about this?
It was awesome.
It's awesome whenever someone gets their head put through a window, isn't it? I just every time I'm at like a pizza place, I'm like, I'd love to put that fucking guy's head right through that window.
Right through the front window.
I think about it every day.
We have double paned glass.
Everyone's wondering. Multiple fun.
Yeah. Yo. Double the pleasure.
So Marty would go on to capture the Intercontinental title in the WWF, which was probably like his crowning achievement, really, actually. But then he would eventually struggle to maintain his relevance in wrestling. In my opinion, at least, he was always an excellent in-ring worker. Thought he, like, real good, you know, wrestler. But the character could have been a little more developed.
Yeah, it was kind of lame.
Maybe he just didn't get the right opportunity. I'll tell you, the fucking character is a little overdeveloped these days, and we're going to get into that.
That's his real life, though.
But that what makes the best wrestlers is when they take their real personality and turn it up to 11. You know what I mean? Mm. And they just, you know, that's what makes the best ones, unless you're just a boring person in real life, you know?
Mike.
Yeah, that's why I would never make it in the WWE.
But your meatheadedness might get you to be like you could be like a jobber, like a solid jobber, I feel like.
I don't want to be a jobber. I want to be the champion of the world.
So as many wrestlers do, Marty seemed to struggle with some addiction issues down the road. But on a personal note, I actually did meet Marty back in 94, and I will vouch for Marty Jannetty. We won tickets from a radio station. Well, actually, we didn't. My mom's friend did. And she's a super nice lady, Anne. And she took my mom and me and my brother to the Royal Rumble of 94. At the time, it was the Providence Civic Center. It's before it changed to the Dunk. And with this win off the radio, it let the kids like go in and meet a couple of the wrestlers. And Jannetty was there. And that was like, my brother loved Marty Jannetty. What a fucking weirdo. But you know, Marty had to go out to the ring, so he had left, and everybody else was still back there. And my brother was like, I wanted to meet Marty, you know? And somebody went and called him, and he came back, and he met my brother, and, you know, I just thought that was cool, you know? Like, he gave me a good impression at that time. Bad impression a little down later, though, which we'll talk about. But eventually, Jannetty would begin posting some very bizarre things on his social media accounts. Like 3 years ago, when he began mulling over the idea of becoming an adult film star at the ripe age of 57. Former WWE superstar Marty Jannetty announced on Facebook that he has received a $150,000 offer to star in 3 porno films. While Jannetty would not reveal which company made him the offer, he did state that they're big. Here's a direct quote from Marty. To all my ninjas, I want y'all's advice. Just got a call. $150,000 for 3 movies. Porno movies. Can't say that name, but they're big company. I'm just thinking my bro Snoop had something to do with this. Check this, though. I get to tear up some beautiful bitches. But as my brother said, my family could see that. But my thought is, why is my family watching porno? Then they're going to judge me. What do y'all think about this?
Yeah, he's speaking the truth.
So he's asking some fair questions. What do you guys think about this?
He doesn't talk like that, does he?
He does, dude. This is a direct shit.
He says my ninjas?
Yes. I think he's like went to the ICP fucking... He went wrestled for ICP too.
Really? Because
they do their own wrestling thing. And I think they love Marty. Huh.
But for $150,000, where's the contract?
You're like, I'll sign it and come.
Yeah, I mean, I can't fault a guy 57 years old if somebody's gonna give him a contract to make some movies.
But what, and it's if only you, three what about them, your family, your kids? You
maybe know? They should be watching those type of movies.
Yo,
that'll be a big Eddie. Lesson once yeah. they see it.
So yeah, you're
they never see it again.
Lesson, yeah.
So far, you're on board with Marty Jannetty. It sounds like to me. I like it.
Yeah.
Who else is on board with Marty?
I believe. I
mean, what else has he got going on?
Wrong again,
why,
Mike.
Why not go get that $150,000?
His body, his choice. That's what I say.
I agree.
I just don't understand the thing about his family watching it. Like, I feel like he's been on TV enough where they probably feel like, I'm not going to watch everything you're in anymore. Like, I'm over it. I don't need to.
Yeah.
Yeah, but how mad would you be if you were, like, Googling porn or looking up porn and your uncle came up?
I'm pretty sure his name would be plastered on the title.
I don't know if I'd be mad. I would be repulsed, you know? That's different.
Immediately send him the link.
So, say someone you know, they were in a porno, and you didn't realize it until you started watching. Do you shut it off or do you keep watching?
I think if you're already in it,
you're just going to finish. Yeah. I ain't a quitter.
Let's see where this goes.
You gotta do the right thing, you know. All right. Well, so WWE legend Shawn Michaels, former tag team partner, has caused a stir by appearing to ask. I'm sorry. This is a separate one. So WWE legend Shawn Michaels, former tag team partner. Okay, not Shawn Michaels. His partner, Jannetty, has caused a stir. This is the second thing he talked about, by asking wrestling fans if it's okay to have sex with his daughter after discovering she was not his biological child.
That's the plot of Dumb and Dumber 2.
Is it?
This is real life, though, dude. This is real.
Did they get the whole storyline off of this guy?
Well, wait, no. Jeff Daniels not trying to have sex with his daughter. No, Jim Carrey is.
Yeah.
So much better.
No, so Jim Carrey's... It's not Jim Carrey's daughter.
It's the other guy's daughter?
That's what I'm saying. He found out it wasn't his biological daughter, but for a while, Jim Carrey thought it was his...
No, it is Jim Carrey's biological daughter is the thing in the end of it.
That's right, okay.
It's Jeff Daniels that thinks it's his daughter the whole movie.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, in case you guys didn't watch a fucking classic, you know?
You deserve it. How come that's not on the real judgments list?
All right, so you guys want to hear about the controversy?
Yeah.
Let me hear it.
Absolutely.
All right, here we go.
We're already in the rabbit hole.
The controversy began when Marty Jannetty, 57, allegedly took to his Facebook page last month to seek help over his family dilemma. In a post which no longer appears on his timeline, Jannetty said that he and his daughter Bianca had fought the urge to become lovers for some time. However, results of a DNA test could change all that. Jannetty uploaded a picture of the girl, who appears to be in her 20s, and wrote, "Just did a DNA. She's not my daughter. We both held out on sex because you don't do that. But now we ain't." He put a question at the end of it. He went on to describe her as fucking hot with two T's before asking wrestling lovers for their advice. Marty Jannetty's Facebook post about Bianca, who he thought was his daughter. So it's a basically he's so,
is it Shawn Michaels' daughter?
Right, it's like Dumb and Dumber with the Rockers though. It's like
is this Donald Trump talking about Ivanka? Or? Yeah.
So it says that it's unknown whether Jannetty wrote the post himself or whether his social media account was hacked. But Jannetty would go on to claim that it was hacked. And I mean, there is this, he has this huge post about it. I don't think I'm going to go into the whole post cause it's too massive. But basically in the beginning, he's saying breaking news for all media, no sex with daughters. He's like, I put that second line to grab your attention as you need to see what's going on with this. And he goes, I will be limiting what I say here due to my attorney's advice and lawsuits in progress. Several major newspapers in major cities in America and countries, Canada, Australia, and the UK so far, have recently written articles on me and my daughter suggesting that we want to have sex together. Well, please share this and write an article about this that it's fake. I know you won't because it's not something negative about me. He goes, my site was hacked, or it came from a fake account, which I'm constantly having Facebook remove them. So, that's what he says. Okay. He doesn't dispute the porno one, from what I understand. So that one sounds real. Sex with daughter, he disputes, though. Let's get on to the most recent news. This is why we got to figure out if we have mercy for Marty, okay? That's just a little taste of the past. Now let's get a little taste. Future, the present. former WWE Intercontinental Champion Marty Jannetty spoke. Wait a minute, hold on. Let me just go right to the fucking post here. Let's just go right to the post. So this is what Marty Jannetty put up a short time ago. I never told no one this, even my brother Gino, because Gino would have killed him, and I didn't want my brother gone. Hell, he'd only recently come home from Vietnam. I was 13 working at Victory Lane's bowling alley and buying weed from a fag that worked there. And he put his hands on me. He dragged me around the back of the building. You already know what he was going to try and do.
Good old reach around.
That was the very first time I made a man disappear. Yo. They never found him. They should have looked at the Chattahoochee River. But Winnie, the girl in these pics... I like you so damn much, probably my favorite, but I promised myself way back then nobody would ever hurt me again. That includes you. I loved you, but you hurt me with your fucking Jamaican jealousy. You can go on your way. I don't need you. Shortly after this, someone commented just saying, are you okay? And Marty's, I found this little extra follow-up. And Marty goes, me and Winnie just had a fallout. But if you're asking about that other thing, yes, that was a billion years ago. Plus, I have the satisfaction of knowing that bitch-ass ninja never going to do another kid like that. Yeah. Let's talk about the post, guys.
Oh, where do we start? It's loaded.
Somebody talk about it. So, I can't be the only one to talk about it.
So from what I got, he was... kind of got raped, and he made him disappear, like Houdini.
Yeah.
In the river, though, right? He said?
He killed him and dumped him in the river.
Yeah.
That's what Chattahoochee.
Is what he said.
Chattahoochee.
You got to be a pretty bad motherfucker to kill someone at 13 and be able to dispose of the body.
What I don't understand, where does he mention his brother would have killed him or something like that, because he's basically confessing that he's the one who did it.
Well, so,
like,
he said, okay.
He didn't want his brother to go to jail.
If I let him do whatever he was trying to do to me.
The rub and tug?
Or if I got away from it and then told my brother, he would have just gone and killed him. And then his life.
So he was taking the hit so that his brother didn't end up in jail.
Pretty much is what he's saying, yeah. But it doesn't end there. So he.
Jamaican jealousy.
Yeah.
Double J.
So he basically is being investigated for murder now. The police said they're investigating him. But let's see, he did a shoot interview with Boston Wrestling the other day about this specifically. And Jannetty told Boston Wrestling in an interview that the man was a front desk clerk at the bowling alley. Jannetty alleged that the man, who was known to sell marijuana, tried to rape him, according to PWI Insider. Jannetty was not aware that the man also lured children for assaults. Jannetty said that the man fondled him while they were in his car, and when Jannetty tried to get out of his car, the man got angry. Jannetty said he was pulled out of the car and into an alley where the man pulled his pants down. Jannetty said he was able to grab a brick and hit the man before he could be anally sexually assaulted. So he was trying to fuck him in the ass in the alley, and he knocked him out with a brick. Jannetty told Boston Wrestling that he doesn't think that the man deserved to die, but he did deserve to get, quote, to get his ass beaten. He also said that he didn't mean for the man to die, and that he's been affected horribly by the trauma of nearly being raped, killing someone, throwing their body in a river, and then finding out on the news that the dude was missing. This is how
it was shocking to him that the guy was missing.
Like, he's just saying, like, imagine though, someone tried to rape you, you killed them out of self-defense, you're 13, and then you see on the news that they're looking for that guy. You know what I mean?
You shit your pants.
It's fucking crazy.
So he killed him one hit with that brick.
No, he said he deserved a beatdown, meaning he kept hitting
him. Oh, he hit him more than once?
Yeah, so he must have hit him multiple times, it sounds like. Let me see. Here's some of the direct quotes from
it. The
whole
story sounds like bullshit to me.
You think he's just faking it?
Yeah.
I don't know. At 13 years old, I mean, unless he was trying to rob him or something like that, it doesn't make sense that he would just randomly decide he's going to murder somebody. So there was probably some...
I'm not saying anything happened when he was 13. I'm saying he's 50-something now and he's fucking probably losing his mind.
Well, he doesn't have a filter. So maybe he's not lying.
Here's some details. He says, and when I was beating him in the head with the brick, I was only trying to beat his ass. I wasn't trying to kill him. And then he goes, can you imagine dragging a guy? He just tried to fuck you in the ass. Can you imagine dragging him into the river and throwing him in, and then finding out that on the news that the dude is missing? You know the dude, and you know more than that. That affected me bad, bro. I just love the way that he speaks on it.
The fact he's so willing to talk about it in public, I think is bullshit. It's just to get more hype on him again.
He's being investigated for murder.
Yeah, I don't know if that's worth the benefit of... I mean, risking it all to go to prison, right?
Take your personal life and turn it to 11. Yeah. Take your personal life and turn it to 11. There you go.
Well,
although he's retired.
It says, as noted on Wednesday, that Columbus and Georgia Police Department told TMZ that they're going to look into the claim made by Jannetty on Facebook. However, the investigation won't receive priority and won't be any kind of all-hands-on-deck situation. As the police noted, they have several current active homicide investigations underway.
What town?
Georgia. Columbus? Columbus, okay. Georgia. They said, we're going to look into this, a spokesman for the CPD Homicide and Cold Case Division said. The first step will be seeing if we had any missing persons or unidentified remains cases that match the limited information in the post. For what it's worth, Jannetty noted in his original post that his brother Gino had just returned from the Vietnam War and when the attempted rape happened. Jannetty was born February 1960. and would have turned 13 in 1973. The Vietnam War officially ended in April of 1975, but troops were returning home at various times before then. Also, the Chattahoochee River does run through Columbus, and there are records of a Victory Lanes Family Bowling Center in Columbus. The facility was located on Fort Bennington Road, which is right next to the Chattahoochee. In an interesting note that the Georgia Bureau of Investigation's website does not currently list any unsolved murders before 1980. What do you guys think? Do you think we should have mercy on Marty if he killed this man?
I don't think he did it. I think it's just a fabricated story.
That's not what I asked you.
If it's true, we should, because he was only protecting himself from a rapist who did it to multiple kids, apparently.
Yeah, but, like, hiding the body and not telling people?
I don't know. 13 years? Come on.
I'm probably freaked out.
Kill that motherfucker. If a grown man tries to fuck you in the ass behind a dumpster, cut his fucking dick off and watch him bleed to death.
Right.
That's my take on it.
And how do you know he did it before? Was he convicted? Or would he trust this guy that posts up anything?
I don't know. I don't think Marty lies, though. I think he's too dumb to lie.
You don't? You don't think Marty lies?
I don't think Marty lies. He's just straight up.
You're a sweet boy, JP.
I mean.
You don't call people ninjas and lie to them.
I don't know. I think there's definitely some truth to it, you know?
Yeah, I think there's some merit to it.
It sounds like based on just a general search of things, like, oh, some of the story lines up. I know you were making faces when I was reading it, but then you heard the rest of it, and actually all of it lines up. So he came out and confirmed it again a day later. So even if he was like blackout drunk putting it up, he still fucking confirmed it the next day in an interview.
Unlike the daughter stuff, which he retracted and was like, "Hey, my shit was hacked." You know, right, like this is like, "No, I did."
Beseeched lawyer counsel.
Yeah, but
he was having a lawsuit against people who smeared him. That's why.
Well, he wasn't smeared. He put the shit out there.
They smeared him. If they're posting unverified shit from a hacked account or a fake account, which he said multiple fake account, you know what I mean?
His account said about the daughter shit. His account didn't come from his original account.
He claimed that it was a hacked account or that it was a duplicate account.
Right. So when my account gets hacked, I don't immediately go seek a lawyer about it.
No, he didn't go immediately seek a lawyer about the hacked account. He seeked a lawyer over the smear campaign that the newspapers in all these different countries, they jumped on the story immediately to fucking smear him. And they said, oh, he's going to fuck his daughter, all this stuff. But like media today, nobody fucking verifies anything. They just put shit out.
Yeah, I'm sure
they say, oh, fucking Facebook post. Let's jump on it.
Yeah, I'm sure he still has some type of manager or something like that they should be able to reach out to and confirm that it's legitimate, right?
It's called two sources, okay? Mm-hmm. Basic journalism. You need two sources. There's tons of great reporters sitting on stories right now because they got one guy that tells them a story, but there's no second person to back it up. These fucking scum Sun Press assholes see something on Facebook and make a story up about it. That's bad journalism.
Agreed.
They should get fucking sued.
That's half the media.
And Marty should do his fucking pornos if he wants to.
I was thinking that those would be called like Ginetti's spaghettis. I don't know.
Yo. Genius.
So I guess that's it, guys.
I think in the next 5 years we find out he has mental health issues.
Well,
I think he already has mental health issues.
Like, but some of his mental health issues could stem from what he did when he was 13 years old.
He admitted he had his mental health issues. Yeah.
That might give you some issues.
Is this CTE?
Too many chairs to the head.
Yeah, probably, right? But I have mercy on Marty. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt.
I'm with you. I have mercy on him.
If it's true.
Mike, do you have any mercy for Marty? Or,
I mean, if it's self-defense, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, you got to... We're talking about the hypothetical.
Yeah, if he legitimately was being raped, yeah, I mean, shit happens. I mean, they were already striking it up with something bad.
I seem to remember you going real hard on executing every pedo on a podcast.
Absolutely, but I don't even think this really exists. I think it's just a fabricated story to get some hype around Marty Jannetty. He's if not it is real and this dude did rape him, I have no remorse that he's swimming in the chat.
Yeah, it's just like fucking pulling teeth asking you questions sometimes, though, you know? Because I'm asking you a hypothetical and you'd just rather explain to me, no, well, this might have happened facts. Back in fucking...
God I want the it, real Michael. Deal first.
You're getting me worked up again.
My favorite.
Well, this was phenomenal. I just had a splendid time talking about vampires and Marty Jannetty today.
Both rare species.
Yeah, we hope you guys enjoyed it too.
Both stories had sucking in it.
Yes. Yo. Hot blood. And you better watch out because next week we're really turning up the heat. Right, Katie?
Yo.
Oh, yeah.
How so?
How hot?
How hot's it gonna get tomorrow?
It's gonna get so hot.
Next week.
It's gonna get so hot.
Why though? Can you give us?
We're gonna talk about spontaneous human combustion.
What? Yo! What? Yo! Yeah. So
smoking.
So listen, if you know, you better watch your temperature until then, because there's gonna be some smoky revelations. In the works.
Grab a cold one.
All right, guys. But thanks again for listening. Remember to go to www.evilexamine.com to see these Marty Jannetty rants. And we'll put up the stuff with the Mercy Brown grave. And subscribe and rate and like the podcast. You know.
And donate if you want to donate.
Yeah, if you want to donate, we'll do the whole mock profile where we all talk shit about you. You can see some of those on the website. They're really fun. But thank you. And thanks again to Steady Eddie and Mike. They'll be joining us over the course of the next 2 episodes.
Word.
Good evening.
They're extra-dimensional beings that they are not what they claim to be.
Your life with dignity. Don't lay down with tears and agony. Living, you're looking at death. It only looks like living is much, much more difficult.
You know, most of them don't assume you're actually going to kill them. Most of them assume it's a rape or something like that.
It was like anybody was fair game.
It did not matter. Blood is blood. It didn't matter if man, woman, child.
At first, they thought it was a pack of savage dogs. But when they looked closer, they knew it was humans.
We left the curse. Trent! We left the curse.
We lit the gate.
A fire and death.
We lit it.
Oh, this is not nice.
Judgment!
Say it!
We left the curse!
On her?
On her!
Future generations.
Future generations!